Hello, my name is Yu Zhang. I'm a senior project manager with World Education Services, a social enterprise dedicated to advocating fully utilization of any internationally educated individuals in the US and Canada. I came to the States back in 2008 for graduate school program from China. Today, I'm very happy to be with Anuz and Deepika with their stories to share my experiences of how I integrate into the US.
Thank you so much for your time, Yu Zhang.
Thank you, Deepika. I'm so happy to be with you and Anuz.
Thank you. We're happy too. And Yu Zhang, what do you do at WES?
I'm a senior project manager for Global Talent Bridge, an initiative that WES started back in 2009. Mm-hmm. That program was dedicated to support and advocate for fully integration, professional integration of any internationally educated individuals.
Mm-hmm. We were going through your LinkedIn profile, and you have been associated with WES for more than almost 9 years?
So yes.
More than 9 years.
Yes, yes, it's a long time.
It's a long time.
Very long time.
Yeah. Before you started helping immigrants to get integrated in the US job market, how did you manage to do that for yourself?
That's a very good question. I think I came from one of the traditional paths. I came here first as an international student. Right. I went to Columbia Social Work School to study social enterprise administration. Mm-hmm. So thanks to that program, part of the 2 year experience at Columbia, they have this field education where they placed us in different organizations. So I had the opportunity to work with a city council member who was in charge of District 1. Yeah. So I did a lot of community outreach. Mm-hmm. Also in my second year, I was very fortunate to work with a Columbia associate provost at the provost office with a work-life balance. So at there, I accumulated off a lot of experience developing programs. Actually, one of my outputs is designing a retirement toolkit for all the faculties that was now as part of the HR department's kind of package. So I was very proud of my work. And thanks to those experiences, like hands-on experiences, going to communities, learning program development, and coupled with my school coursework, when I looked for a job, I stumped on WES's opportunity as a community outreach assistant. Mm-hmm. What they're looking for was exactly what I did in the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was because I had the opportunity to really experience what it looked like in a U.S. workplace. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate, very fortunate, to have talented colleagues and my dedicated supervisors to help me adjust it to the workforce. What questions I need to know, how people work with each other, what are the efficient ways, how do you facilitate a group session, how do you facilitate a meeting. Those experiences really helped me to ace my job interview, I guess.
Yu Zhang, so you were also working in China. I was going through your LinkedIn profile, and you were working as an educator at New Oriental Education Technology Group for 11 months, then as a human resource at Dell in China for 3 months, operation and sales in CMA for 6 months. How did those job profile or experience help you navigate job market in America?
When I was still in college, I started working. Yeah. I had the opportunity to teach, and I experienced right after graduation kind of different positions in operations, in sales. I also worked for the Chinese government, Minister of Commerce.
Yeah, almost 3 years.
Yes, yeah. I had the opportunity to experience how to manage a fund, how to manage grantees, how to sort of lead delegations to explore overseas market, how to write reports. All those experiences sort of helped me put together an holistic approach of what I can do, what I was good at, and I have a clear sense of how to work with others. I think that's the key, and especially for US employers, they will like to know whether you're a team player, whether you can sort of deliver work on your own and with others. And I think by working with working in a variety of environments, by working with a kind of very different groups of people, either in the government, in the private sector, I'm serving the customers as my students. I I think mm-hmm. those experiences really helped me to understand how to work with others better, mm-hmm. how to listen better. Mm-hmm. And I think eventually those experiences helped me mm-hmm. Sort of to tell the employers at the interviews
right.
that I was able to understand their concerns. I can work with others. Mm-hmm. And despite maybe the language barriers, yeah. I'm still improving my English. I have the opportunity, I have the attitude to learn mm-hmm. and I can learn fast. Mm-hmm. So that's also something by, you know, you work in different industries, you work in different companies, there's right. always a transition, there's always a quick adaptation.
True.
And by doing each position's well, mm-hmm. I was able to showcase that I'm a fast learner.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm quickly adept and I'm flexible to adjusting to all types of working styles, mm-hmm. leadership, working environment and different types of projects.
Yes.
I think those experiences, and as many immigrants have themselves, mm-hmm. like how to integrate those together, weave them into narratives
mm-hmm.
that you'll be able to tell employers, hey, I moved from one country to another. That itself already tells a lot.
Mm-hmm. Linking to communications mm. and mm. English language skill, mm. no matter what job we are mm. in, especially in the context
yes.
of US mm. being a new immigrant,
mm.
how have you been gradually working on your communication skill?
Mm. I think learning and observing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so fortunate to work in an environment, it's a very multicultural, multilingual environment. A lot of my coworkers are coming from all rounds of the world,
mm-hmm.
and their styles are different. Their ways of communication is different. And I have also talented American colleagues who I've learned a lot. And I think one thing I really enjoy kind of through my internships, mm-hmm. through my field education, my actual work, is that I can look how my boss communicates with others,
right.
how my peers communicate with each other, the way that they talk to people, mm-hmm. how they open a conversation, how they facilitate a meeting, how they raise questions, the way they raise the questions,
mm-hmm.
the exact, you know, language they use, the wording they use, the tone they use, how they deliver it. All those are learning experiences and they are very valuable. That's why I cannot emphasize enough of mm-hmm. the importance of sort of try to get into the door of
right.
working with a US employer so that you can observe others.
Mm.
That really opens the door for you to learn more.
Right. Mm. Besides your work as a program official at Ministry of Commerce in China, which was for about 3 years, you were working in a bunch of places for like merely 6 months, 3 months, 11 months. Did any of your interviewers raise this job hopping after seeing your resume in any of the interviews?
Yes,
what was your
course.
Direct answer to them?
Like I said, I'm being very honest,
okay.
and I think honesty is the first thing that employers look in you when they look at your resume.
Mm.
You can be fairly open, and I'm aware that if you know for many immigrants, when you transition from a country to another, you may have a gap on your resume.
Right.
How you deal with that?
Right.
A first thing is that you can be honest, and I think it's understandable if you do have a sort of a year and a half kind of gap on your resume, it is okay. You can say, you know, I'm adapting, I'm adjusting. There are many other priorities in my life that I have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to manage. That's one way sort of you can cover the gap in your
right.
resume.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is that you can, you know, try to fill in that gap by taking some short-term trainings and programs,
mm-hmm.
Get a certification, continue your study.
Right.
That's sort of something I'm still looking to do. And a lot of my colleagues are actually doing for themselves. Doesn't matter they're holding a real job.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly taking trainings. They're constantly learning the new trends. LinkedIn is a great platform.
Mm-hmm.
Lynda is a great platform.
Right.
And you can always share what you've learned through your training program, through your LinkedIn learnings, share it in posts, share it in writing, raise questions.
Right.
That's how you can leverage a platform. And I think that's the advantage of social media as well.
It's going to be a perfect segue to LinkedIn now, because my another question was about LinkedIn. And
yeah.
I got in touch with you through LinkedIn.
Yes.
So I'm being honest about it. I see you posting a lot on LinkedIn.
Yes.
And I see you commenting a lot on somebody else's post, you know, like
yes.
writing inspiring
mm-hmm. yes.
things. In this generation, in this time and age,
mm-hmm.
how important it is to be active on LinkedIn?
Mm-hmm. I think it's very important to be active. See how we connected. Yeah, that's a very good example. I think in a world, and especially when you are coming from another country, mm-hmm. you want people to notice you. You want to establish your expertise in a certain area. Doesn't matter you hold a full-time job or you're looking for a job.
Right.
It is important for people to know what you know. And how can you do that?
Right.
One way is to show people that you're constantly learning
mm-hmm.
by sort of sharing the articles you've read, showing the reports you've read, commenting and sharing your thoughts on it. It tells people that you know your stuff, you know what you're talking about,
right.
you know the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then by sort of commenting on others, complimenting on others,
mm-hmm.
sharing your thoughts, responding to others,
mm-hmm.
sort of like creating an interaction between you and someone else, that's another way to tell people that you are engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You are always ready to engage in a conversation. And to me, engagement is another key. You need to let people know that you're willing to talk to them, you're willing to communicate, that being open. And then I think what also important is that by participating in different groups discussions,
mm-hmm.
you will also keep yourself up with the latest trend. So say if you're looking for a job, you are a IT professional, you need to know what's the software that people are using, what are the coding languages you need to learn. You need to know like what are the job opportunities available. How can you know that? By looking at people working in similar industries, by looking at job openings,
mm-hmm.
and also you can always reach out and send a message to a person with maybe similar backgrounds, with similar education or experiences. And you can raise a question, okay, I'm curious, you know, what made you get to the position? What was it like working in an environment like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, you send maybe 100 or 1,000 cold messages and maybe only 3 or 5 people get back to you,
sure.
but you will gain a lot from those outreach.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, leveraging the social media to A, show that you know your business,
mm-hmm.
and to show you're willing and open to conversation, you're always engaged, and then to use that as a platform to expand your network, to gain kind of the insights into a certain industry, certain company. Those, I think, are the true keys of how you build your network and build your presence
mm-hmm.
on the LinkedIn community, for example.
I would like to raise the question about the recent report published by US and Imprint about how the immigrant professionals are integrating in the US job market. Would you like to tell a little about that?
Yes, so it's a very interesting project actually funded by the Knight Foundation, I think back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So it was based on a survey that we did in 6 cities in America, and we try to figure out what are the success factors, you know, for a success integration, professional integration. So it was a project that worked among WES, World Education Services, and Imprint. It's a short for Immigrant Professional Integration. It's a coalition of 5 organizations. WES is one of them.
Right.
So we're trying to find out what are the success factors.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, actually social capital is the key. And that's actually one of the key points made by the report. Think about you migrate from one country to another.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In your home country, you have a solid network.
Right.
Your family members, your classmates,
right.
your co-workers, your community, your church, your school. You have a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a problem, you know who to reach out to.
Right.
And I'm talking about problems, not just employment.
Right.
You know where to find a doctor, you know where to find a, if you need insurance,
mm-hmm.
if you have housing issues, if you need daycare, baby care, school. But when you migrate to another country, US or Canada, despite how well the programs or services are, you know, in the country, who can you talk to if you have a problem?
Right.
Like, let's raise a simple question. If I'm I'm an IT professional, I'll go back to the previous example. I'm an IT professional in my home country, back here, okay? How do I know, first of all, is my educational any value in this country?
Right.
How do I know if my bachelor's degree back in India is the same or equivalent in the US? And how do I make sure that my credentials are recognized by employers?
Right.
That already is a barrier. And that's actually another factor that was mentioned in the report, the credential recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how do you try to find answers to that question? How do I know if my degree is of value?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I know if there's a job available in my neighborhood, in my community.
Right.
And how do I know who knows of the job openings?
True.
Who do I talk to?
Mm-hmm.
And think about if you have no family. In my case, I actually have no family member. I'm alone in the city. How do I start?
Right.
School can be your entry point. That's where you can find, you build your social capitals, mm-hmm. your social network. You started with one entry point. And from there, you might be able to expand. If you go to a school, and that's why I'm advocating for even like a short-term program. And often programs like what's offered by ARNIC, by English Speaking Union.
Yeah.
It's a free program. You get to meet your fellows. You get to meet your people.
Yeah.
They may not directly have the job you're looking for, but
True.
They may know someone that can refer you to,
True.
Even for an informational interview. So you only need one entry point to expand from there. And I find that sometimes even finding that one entry point is very, very difficult and very, very challenging. So what the report is trying to advocate for mm-hmm. is that what the community do,
mm-hmm.
what can organizations and social enterprises like WES
mm-hmm.
to do that support skilled immigrants, to support them, to find them, ways to expand their entry point to the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And how can sort of the regulating bodies, the licensing boards, make it easier or make the steps sort of clearer
mm-hmm.
to people who wanted to get back to a licensed profession? That would be extremely complicated in the US. So that's essentially what this report is about.
And now towards the end of mm-hmm. the podcast, what would be your key message for the newly arriving young immigrants?
Your experience has value.
Mm-hmm.
Your education has value. Believe yourself. Believe the values that you carry. You come to the States. We all come to the States for a better life. We all have that dream.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in that dream. Be open, be engaged, and believe in the people who are willing to talk to you, are willing to help you. Be open with what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Communicate constantly, learning constantly, and I think when you open up to opportunities,
mm-hmm.
opportunities will open up to you.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you so much, Yuzhang, for this.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so happy that to meet you guys,
mm-hmm.
and I would hope to invite you guys back to WES to share your stories, because
okay.
what you're doing is amazing.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
If anyone of our audience would like to reach out to you, are you comfortable sharing any platforms?
I would encourage you to connect with me through LinkedIn, and
okay.
as I said,
right.
it's a very great community to keep the conversation going.
Okay, 2 months of promotion of LinkedIn. So it's time to say bye-bye, and before we say that, we would like to thank the English Speaking Union, ARNIC, for providing a wonderful space to record our conversation, and definitely log on to our podcast website, which is podcast@theendoftheday.com.
And subscribe to us on YouTube platform and all the podcast platform available.
Yes. So on that note, thank you once again.
Thank you.
And bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi guys, we have the 100th episode of our weekly podcast at the end of the day coming soon.
So, we would like to invite you to our 100th episode.
We would like to acknowledge you and celebrate all the amazing guests we had in our podcast.
So please send us your feedback.
Send us your feedback and wishes for us.
Text us, send us your audio feedback, video feedback, anything you want to say for our 100th episode.